The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Burger King, Thomas Bus and Truck Company Limited, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, BTVI, the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institution, Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and Ministry of Finance.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we got a lot to get done in a short space of time. We have the Lyford Key International School joining us at 12:30, so we're going to do all we can do before then. And I'm so sorry, the Lyford Key Foundation, not the Lyford Key International School, the Lyford Key Foundation is going to be coming on at about 12:30, so we're going to get through all we can get through before that, and then on the other side of the break, we can get into some other things. I wanted to try to get through our local government plan. I don't know if we will, but I will try. We have a couple of other things to talk about in terms of national developments. There was the fire at Potter's Key. We're going to talk about that, hopefully, if we can, and we're also going to talk about the raid of the shantytown on Abaco that Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Works Desmond Bannister spoke about this morning. I also wanted to talk about Chanel Ferguson and John Pinder potentially going to Fox Hill. So we're going to try to get through a lot, as much as we can. And I'm going to talk about a topic that I will have to address more fully on another show, but maybe we'll have time today, but I don't know. I wanted to get comfy with it. First and foremost, let me say happy anniversary to Guardian Radio. It's a 9th anniversary. The official date was on Saturday, but we're celebrating it today. 9 years. It's been a really wild ride here on Guardian Radio. I think we've done some good things. We've had some impact. You know, some things we could have done better, you know, but I believe we're moving from strength to strength, and I'm proud of the work that we've put in up to this point. Live radio is not an easy taskmaster, particularly talk radio. A lot goes into it behind the scenes. We could be doing a lot more as well, but we'll continue to examine where we are and hopefully move forward. Getting stronger over time, but happy anniversary. This weekend, personally, I don't know how your weekend was a real emotional roller coaster for myself and my family, my wider family, the Sawyer family. My mother's a Sawyer, was a Sawyer. Oh, she's a Sawyer. Death won't change that, but we celebrated my cousin's wedding on Saturday. My first cousin, Elaine Sawyer, married Trevor Hutchison. Congratulations, Trevor and Elaine. Is it Elaine Hutchison now? Or is it, are we keeping Sawyer? It can't be Sawyer Hutchison. That's way too much to write. Don't do that to yourself. Keep telling y'all, don't let this woman hyphenate y'all name. All right? You want to keep your name? Stay in your daddy house. Anyway, let me stop. All right, whatever you choose your name to be, that'll be fine. But congratulations, Elaine and Trevor. They got married on Friday. And, you know, it was so good because now the Prime Minister, in all his COVID wisdom, as the competent authority, has now allowed weddings to take place in churches at capacity. And so we did the wedding. We went to the wedding. It was in a church. And it was great. Right? It was beautiful. They had a nice live band right? Only the singer was unmasked. It was a beautiful wedding, and it was lovely, and it was done with all the protocols in place. You know, there wasn't any big party or anything afterward, but it was beautiful, and we were all basking in that and so happy with that. Another one of my cousins' wedding anniversary was on Sunday, and when we saw each other at the wedding, we were like, we need to do something soon. You know, people are getting vaccinated, and we should do something soon as a family, because it's been so long since we've been together. And I'm close with my family, right? So I don't know about y'all and how your relationships are with your family, but I'm very close with my family, particularly my mother's side of the family, some of my father's side as well, but particularly more broadly my mother's side of the family, because most of them are here. And Sunday morning, one of my aunts calls me, and I was happy to hear from her. Hey, how's it going? You know, I thought she may have been calling to say we'll have a family function soon, all right, as vaccinations ramp up. And she calls me, and she says, it's not going so well. Your uncle has died. And it just really was a hammer to the chest. Particularly having lost my mother 6 months ago, now my uncle, who struggled with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, for almost 20 years. He just passed away. Early Sunday morning, his name is Ednell Smith. He was from Andros. He's a former teacher, former CPA. He was a partner at Price Waterhouse. When he was very young, he was a hard worker, a generous man to a fault. He always had a smile on his face, and he lived with that disease. It took away his mobility. It took away his capacity to walk. It chipped away at it over the years, and we watched this over the years, and my aunt is the definition of dedication over the years, taking care of him. He lost his ability to feed himself. He lost his ability to breathe on his own. All right? He lost his ability to speak, but he was always very dignified, and he suffered so much, and at one instant, you feel a sense of relief that he no longer has to endure that, but you do feel a stark sense of loss. He was the very core of that family, and my aunt Andrea is grieving today, as well as their son, Jermaine. I have nothing but fond memories of my uncle. I was always mischievous. He always asked me if I was staying out of trouble. I'd say no, you know, and I took my then girlfriend to meet him when we started dating probably 14 years ago, and to a family function. I introduced her to my uncle, and he was bedridden. He couldn't speak, but he had a board with letters on it that he could point to. And when he met my then girlfriend for the first time, he spelled out love, L-O-V-E, on the board. And he was just great. And I will miss him. And that was really painful, a painful experience on Sunday, bearing that loss and compounding the loss of our mother as well. So my aunt has now lost in 6 months her sister as well as her husband. All right? It's very tragic. Now, I want to say this. Going to the wedding, and I'm going to do a show on this one day, we could talk more about it on the other side. But in going to the wedding, my wife had been talking for about a day or so that she really felt like having some Kung salad. Because, you know, we used to go get Kung salad together. That was one of the things we did a lot prior to the pandemic. And she really loves Kung salad. And so I was on the way to the wedding, and I stopped off at a stall alongside the road, a proper stall with all the stuff. You'd know it if I said it, but I won't say exactly where it is because of what I'm about to say. And I approach the stall, The guys are talking to one or two people around who are eating Kung salad, and they look like they're preparing a salad. Nobody even acknowledges that I exist. I'm right in front of their face, right? I'm asking, hi, how, you know, you would expect you walk into someone, they greet you, right? That's normal. If it's your business, I'm approaching your business, you would greet me, right? I'm not there to give you a bill. I'm probably there to spend money, but no greeting. And so I said, well, hi, I would like to have a Kung salad, please. And they say nothing to me, the person making the Kung salad. And I go, could you tell me how I can order a Kung salad since I can't tell you that I want a Kung salad? Like, well, you have to go to the cashier and pay the cashier. So I go in, the cashier's on her phone, right? Doesn't look at me. I'm right in front of her face, right? She's behind the thing. Doesn't look at me. I go, excuse me. And she deigns to, like, stop tinkering with her phone as I'm standing in front. By the way, no one else is there beside the two women who are eating the Kung salad. She doesn't even acknowledge me until I walk up to her and I go, excuse me, I'd like to order a Kung salad. And I go, but I'm pressed for time. I need about 15 minutes. All right. It says Animals from Eleuthera. I thought he was from Andros. I need about, I only got 15 minutes, all right? My wife wants a Kung salad, all right? My honey wants a Kung salad. My honey gets what she wants, right? So she's like, mm-mm, right? Just like this. Like I said something offensive, all right? Mm-mm. It's at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes for a salad? Now, I didn't just come off the boat. I don't know if that's what she thinks, right? Like, people think I'm a foreigner. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? I ain't asking you for crack conk. Maybe we have the wrong thing we're talking about. I want a conk salad. I can make conk salad. I know it don't take 30 minutes. Y'all do this all day, right? And I go, well, could they not do it faster than that? These dudes ain't doing nothing now. They finish it up one salad. Mm-mm. It's 30 minutes. And, you know, I left. And I don't have time to do it now because we're going to go to the interview here shortly. But I'm not saying you should be appreciative of business or your job because of the pandemic. But by God, if after being closed down for months and months and months on end, the pandemic didn't help you to appreciate it, you should have the smallest measure of customer service. And I've had salad from this place before. It ain't all that. Right, they use the iodized salt, which I don't like anyway. There's a significant problem in this country, and it's not a problem with customer service per se. It's a problem with people's attitudes. And don't give me this jive, but oh well, what you want for minimum wage? What are you talking about? I ain't make you make minimum wage. This is your job, unless I'm mistaken. This business is owned by somebody who needs money to come in so that they can pay your salary. You don't treat potential customers this way. Something is going on in this country, and it's beyond customer service. There's a cultural deficit somehow that's leading us to spite the very thing that is helping our country move forward. And I'm not a psychologist, right? But I am, you know, I have a trained sociologist. Well, I have a degree in sociology. You know, there's something going on here, right? I sense a disturbance in the force that we can't get this right. We can't take care of this, all right? It makes zero sense. We have to do better than this as a society and as a culture, all right? Please, I'm not going to frequent your stall anymore because I'm too old. I worked too hard for my money. All right, we got a break. We'll break. I'm too old. I work too hard for my money to give it to people who don't appear to appreciate it, whatever the service or product is you're providing. And so from now on, so I've started something about a year or two ago, right? 2 years ago. if you give me bad service, I'm not frequenting your establishment anymore. You've lost a customer, and I won't recommend it. And if someone asks me about it, I'll tell them, I got bad service. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll be back with the Life of Key Foundation on the other side.
Property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're going to take the remainder of this portion of the show and speak with the Lyford Key Foundation. They've asked to speak to us about a number of issues going on with the Lyford Key Foundation, and it's under new leadership. Dr. Nicola Virgil Rohl has assumed the helm of the Lyford Key Foundation, and we're going to find out more about what's in store for the Lyford Key Foundation. So joining us is on Zoom is Dr. Nicola Virgil Rohl, the new executive director of the Lyford Key Foundation. I've spoken to Dr. Rohl many times. She's a woman of excellence. Karen McCartney, Focus Program Coordinator, is my family. Like you know, right? And Kendra Moss, another Focus Program Coordinator, 5 through 9. I'm not sure what that distinction is. All right. Good afternoon, ladies. Welcome to the Revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. Good afternoon, Bahamas. So happy to be here with you.
Absolutely. Great to speak with you once again. You're always doing big things. Every time I talk to you. It's like it's something new, something big you're doing. And so this is the next big thing. All right.
Yes, so excited to be here in this capacity to be put in a leadership position at the Life Key Foundations, a wonderful institution that's been in the Bahamas since 1969, really a pillar of philanthropy for the Bahamas and making incredible changes for the Bahamas in terms of providing philanthropic services, scholarships and programs, grants to the people of the Bahamas to make lives better.
So this came about because of the people who would buy homes in Lyford Key, wanted to do more for the community, wanted to promote excellence and make sure Bahamians had an opportunity to reach their full potential. What has been done since the foundation has been started to kind of reach, help Bahamians reach their potential and fulfill the mission of the foundation?
Yes. So there's been a lot of things happening. We began really as a grant-making organization. So in the early 1970s, there were grants done to different charities that existed for persons with different abilities in the Bahamas. And so we had the Canadian LifeKey Foundation and the U.S. side, the LifeKey Foundation, Inc., begin to make grants to those organizations. And then and in the 80s, it was realized that really we needed to focus on education. And so the organization began to raise funding, and a tremendous endowment was begun to be built to assist with granting scholarships for students to attend international schools for four-year degrees. And so that became the major thrust of the organization for a number of years in terms of scholarships. So people would recognize us and know us as one of the places you would apply to when your children were going off to school. And there were now over 3,000 scholars we have who have benefited from a LifeKey Foundation's scholarship program.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and these students have come back to the Bahamas, some have stayed abroad, but many have come back home in order to make the Bahamas a better place. And also we have a tremendous program, and that's why I asked my colleagues, Karen and Kendra, to be present today to discuss the Focus program, which is a program that, I'll let them discuss it, but it's an 8-year commitment we make to primary school students to get them ready for college. And it's just a tremendous program that's being done every year since 2011, is it, Karen, for the students of the Bahamas. We focus on 6 primary schools in the Western District, Northwestern District public schools. And we select 36 students every year, and we make an 8-year commitment to them. They start in fourth grade, and we work them through the system to 12th grade and get them ready for college.
Excellent. So let's talk to Karen McCartney, who's the one of the Focus directors. What aspect of the Focus program do you deal with? Hello, are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon, Hi. Juan. Good afternoon to your audience. So I'm the program coordinator for the second phase of Focus, which is called On Course to College, abbreviated OCTC. And so, like Dr. Nicola Virgil-Rowe would have said, it's an 8-year commitment. And so for 5 through 9, which is why Kendra's here, the kids go through what is a project-based learning program. And once they hit senior high school, they transition over to On Course to College. And On Course to College is just that, where we really pay more attention to getting them prepared for a transition from high school onto college.
Excellent. All right. So On Course to College, and exactly who is that focusing on in particular? Is there a particular area of New Providence? Is it just New Providence? Is it throughout the Bahamas?
Okay. Well, Focus, we only have a program here in New Providence, and it is only in the Western School District of New Providence. The district is now Western School District, but it used to be the Northwestern School District. And the Northwestern School District used to comprise of 8 schools. Then 2 of those schools, Naomi Blatch and Mabel Walker, closed down, reducing it to 6 schools. I think about 3 years ago, the school district changed to Western School District, but we continue to recruit from the very same 6 schools. Those schools are Aubrey Sale, Woodcock Primary, Stephen Dillett, T.G. Glover, Eva Hilton, and Gambert Primary.
Okay, and the specific focus, by the way, my people in Tarpon Bay says, you are my family. So
yes, Kenneth is my father.
Okay, yeah, certainly you're my family, yes. Okay, I know Kenneth. Okay, so Kirk's your uncle, right? Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. All right, so not to get off track, sorry, but if we're looking at the schools, what kind of need are you focusing on with the particular student?
Okay, well, the first thing that we do focus on is that they are going to be first-generation college students. When you look at the demographic of students that we are recruiting, they're coming from the inner city, so primarily Bain and Grantstown, We're talking about Farrington Road area. And then, of course, on the outskirts is Gambier. So the first thing that we look at is whether or not these kids are going to be the first in their family to attend college. We're not looking for kids who are coming from families where they have at least one parent that's received a college degree.
Good.
So essentially, we're trying to change the dynamic for these students. We're trying to change their lives. We're trying to provide the support that they would need to essentially succeed, or that they're not getting from just being in traditional school.
Absolutely. So you're trying to change the course of a family through education.
Indeed.
Excellent. All right. So now let's speak with Kendra Moss. You're the 5-9 coordinator for FOCUS. What does 5-9 mean? What does that signify?
Good afternoon, Juan, and thank you once again for having us.
Absolutely.
So 5-9 just refers to the grade level. So we recruit students at the end of their grade 4 year, which means that by summer they would really and truly be transitioning into grade 5. And so the lower, we call it lower focus. So the lower portion of the program deals with kids that are in grades 5-9 before they transition to Ms. Karen's portion, which is OCTC.
Okay. So you're trying to bring the kids straight through from grade 4.
Yes.
All right. So tell me about the program. What is it? What do you get into when you're doing the program? Is it a particular curriculum? Does it go beyond the school's curriculum? And in what ways would the Lyford Key Foundation assist these students? In what practical ways?
All right. So we are an enrichment program. We are an out-of-school time program. So we basically support education that is out of school. We host 45 days of programming a year, which comprises of 30 days during the summer. And during those 30 days, kids participate in project-based learning. That's the curriculum that is used, but it also includes cross-disciplinary courses. So even though it's based around projects, we would still include work relating to math and social studies and language. So different strands, we ensure that it's covered. And during the Saturday school year, which runs from October to about May, kids are in 15 days during the Saturday sessions, 15 Saturdays a year, sorry, from October to May, where we engage them in more math and language curriculum.
Okay.
And just one, if I may interject, just to give you a little bit of our results. In 2019, we had our first cohort graduating, and this number was the number that really just blew me away. We had 78% of our first year cohort going on to college.
That's excellent.
Yeah. In 2020, our second cohort year, that number increased to 80%.
Nice.
So you can see the impact of having that additional enrichment activity provided to students who have particular needs as well. And the main issue that we, you know, how we choose our students is that they want to do better. There's good parental support in terms of supporting the students' desire to be in the program as well. And so with the additional enrichment, so we use a number of project-based, as Karen and Kendra mentioned, we have technology as well. And there's this program is supported by a network of teachers, of interns, all covered through the program who provide those teaching services to our students. And so we use master teachers as well as teaching students from the University of the Bahamas who, as part of the program to provide the instruction for the students.
So do you find that if you're getting children from a particular area and the criteria is that their parents wouldn't have had college degrees, is there any sort of, I want to think of the right terminology, is there any sort of cultural gap that the program needs to help bridge in order to get them into a college mindset? Or I'm going to college mindset, particularly since that's not something that anyone in their immediate family would have done.
Yes, which is why we start at the time when we do. So it's essentially to get these kids thinking about college from a very young age. So that by the time as they do move on to on-course to college, they know why they're here and they are hard pressed to get to college. So it was very deliberate to start as young as we've started at fourth grade level. And I can tell you, we do provide so much support for not only the kids, but their families. And so, yes, there is a gap that we need to fill, and we knew that. That's why we start so young. And I think the parents buy into the program because they see the level of support that we're providing for our kids. And the Life for Key Foundations have really invested in the FOCUS program. We provide them with transportation to and from sessions. We provide them with their breakfast, with their lunch, with their snacks. We provide them with the uniform shirts that they wear to the program. And so we really try to fill in some of the gaps that would otherwise prevent these kids from fully participating in the program.
It sounds almost as if what you're doing is kind of like a magnet school for a particular set of people in order to make sure that they succeed. And what I like about what you're doing is that you're pulling them all the way through. Because if a parent can identify, well, my child is diligent, studious, wants to go to college, and they get them into your program, the goal is to provide a net for them so that they don't fall, all right? And that you have an 80% success rate, to me, is amazing.
Indeed. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the FOCUS program is that you see the changes, you see the differences. And we have our kids participate in other programs and activities, and they really do stand out. And so we do see the impact of the program, not just in them getting to college, but just their ability to thrive and to interact and to engage and to develop critical thinking skills. So we really try to develop a well-rounded student in our program. So we're not just looking at an academic program, because we're not. And honestly, we don't even pull from the top. So we're not pulling top stream students and bringing them into our program. These are average students. So some of our kids may not even be 2.0 students when they come into the program. So you're not looking at a program that's skimming from the top, that's looking at 3.5 students or the 4.0 students. Do we have some of those students who are academically strong? Yes. But on average, we are really just looking at the average student that needs that extra help and motivation to get to the next level.
Now, when you're identifying the children and you get the children in the program, I'm assuming that you'll talk to the parents and have interviews with parents. Is there some sort of theme or common factor that these parents would cite as to why they did not receive a college education?
So it's not listed on the application form that we ask parents to complete. We do ask them if they, that at which level of education that they would have completed. And we have seen a lot of persons that barely graduate grade 9 or grade 12. And if they do graduate grade 12, they don't have BGCSEs or BJCs. So to answer your question, no, we don't have reasons given as to why they did not.
And I think that's why it's so important to you know, have a program like this, which introduces students for that they will be the first in their families to be in college. And then there's a knock-on effect from that. And so their children now have a greater opportunity to go to college. And so we begin to change that cycle and have more and more students going to college. And looking at the average gross tertiary enrollment rates of the country, we'll see that advancing in years to come. And so that's an important, I think, aspect of the FOCUS program that we're going to see have in terms of the knock-on effect of improving generations' chances now of going on to college. And it's not just academic schools, it's also, you know, looking at other tertiary pursuits as well. So there's opportunities for BTVI. We have other programs, the CUTIS program that deals with that, and having technical and vocational training as well. But having that additional training after the secondary level, we think is very important.
Now, I'm interested in this whole argument of nature versus nurture. Clearly, the kids that are entering your program are not very privileged children. Do you find that the main impediment to the success of the child really would be the level of family support and as well as the funds?
Oh, definitely.
Indeed.
without a doubt. It's kind of like you don't know what you don't know. And so when these kids are not essentially being exposed to certain information, then they're not going to aspire to do anything more than what they see, you know, or what they experience. And so that's why it's so important and why we stress the fact that we are in an enrichment program. And so we try to provide opportunities and experiences. We try to expose these kids to what's out there, which is another reason why it's also project-based learning. So they're actually actively involved in the learning process rather than the chalk and talk process of education. That's a traditional form of education. We have speaker circuits. We're big on field trips. So a lot of it is about exposure. And we see the kids growing just from that.
Excellent. Now, how early are you recruiting for the next class?
Juan, you just missed us. So recruitment for the class of 2029 ended about 2 weeks ago. So we have received about 80 applications this year for 36 slots. So we only can accommodate 18 boys and 18 girls. We have 80 applications. We have received for 35, 40 boys, and the remaining are girls. So yes, unfortunately for the class of 2029, which will be beginning this summer, application sessions are closed. We usually begin recruitment in January, where we actually go into the schools and we speak to the grade 4 classes, just to get them excited about college and, you know, to find out where they are. They even aware of what college university is? What do they plan to do once they graduate high school? So we start that process early in January, and then we invite parents to join an information session. And then we also then invite parents and students to come in to complete an application form. So students are given an application form that they complete, and parents are also given one that they complete.
All right. So that's excellent. Great. And there are different programs that the Life of Key Foundation has. So with the time we do have left, Dr. Roll, I wanted you to explain to us some of the other things that are going on with the Life of Key Foundation and where we're going from here. Someone in particular is asking me if the Life of Key Foundation does things with special needs children, such as those who are with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm. So we do have grants, and we have a rolling program. We issue grants 3 times per year. And so we encourage, for example, if there are organizations that work with particular groups and want to apply for a Life Key Foundation's grants, that process is available through our website. And so, you know, that's available also as a way of interacting and the Life Key Foundation supporting different groups. So the grants is a big part of what we do. Last year, we focused quite a bit, of course, on COVID relief. And so we would have participated in the National Food Distribution Task Force. And that was a big part of what Life Key Foundations did last year. And then, of course, Hurricane Dorian was just before that. And so there was quite a bit done there. The foundations took on the Central Abaco Primary School and the rehabilitation of that school to build it back better. And so now it can be used as a shelter. And there was quite a bit invested in in assisting with the and leading really the rehabilitation of the Central Abaco Primary School. And so there's quite a bit that the foundations are doing. And, you know, we encourage people to stay tuned. And also I'd like to take the opportunity to thank our donors. Without their support, we can't do our work. And so, you know, that's a major a part of how we interact in terms of the donors who generously give of their funds to support our programs so that we can impact lives the way the foundations has been doing for the last 50 years.
Well, that's incredible. And where can we go to find out more about the Life for Key Foundation?
So you can go to our website, www.lifeforkeyfoundations.org, and you would see just a myriad of information about the foundations and all that we do. It's all there. You'll see a lot about our history as well. And there's links also to applications, and there's links also to how you can donate as well and participate.
Okay. Well, I'm getting a rave review of the Focus program. This person says, my son has been in the program since he was in grade 4. He's now in the 11th grade. The program is awesome, all caps, one. And during this pandemic, they've been doing online classes. They also provide the students with devices and Wi-Fi boxes. Also, they were giving out grocery certificates. She said she's got a 4-year-old son. She's looking forward to enrolling him in the program as well.
Juan, can I take this opportunity to just thank our parents and our Focus team for being so supportive? And also want to thank the principals of TG Global, Eva Hilton, Woodcock Primary, Gambia Primary, Stephen Dillard, and Aubrey Steele, that have all been so supportive of the program and encouraged their students to apply when application sessions rolled out. And kudos to that parent. We love you.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot going on, and you're making a great difference in the community and in the lives of a lot of young people and a lot of families. And I think that one of the things that a lot of people are missing out on is just that opportunity to put their children in a going to college mindset. And for a lot of families, they often would not cultivate that because they don't really see it as being a real possibility when they're looking at the expense that comes with that. If their child's not in school and on the academic scholarship track, if they're not on the athletic scholarship track, they kind of see the broader opportunity for a university education is out of reach. And it's good that you guys are putting that within the grasp of a lot of Bahamian families. I congratulate you for doing that.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We do appreciate you coming on and talking about the Focus program as well as the Life for Key Foundation. We're going to hopefully get more updates from you, and we'll be looking forward when you have your next recruitment class to help promote that so that more people can get on board. And I want to at some point, Dr. Roll, or maybe if you just have a minute or two now, you could tell us about some of the successes that we're seeing and the prospects of enrolling with the actual people who want to apply for the Life for Key scholarships, which is a staple out there in the community for a lot of people who need help.
Yeah, so the scholarship program for this year, again, unfortunately, has now closed. We had so we're reviewing the 600 applications that we have received now in order to go through and evaluate them. And students will be informed shortly in terms of the you know, the different rounds and the outcomes. But, you know, I am myself a Life for Key scholar. And so I know the life-changing impact of the Life for Key Foundations on students. And so through the foundations, you know, I was able to attend Vassar College from the College of the Bahamas. And, you know, it changed my life tremendously. And that's why it was such an honor to now serve in this capacity. But, you know, there's so many stories like that of students from the Bahamas who were awarded Life for Key Foundation scholarships, which are now up to $15,000. And some named scholarships are much higher than that to be able to attend university. And we also support students in the University of the Bahamas as well. And so, you know, there are so many opportunities, and, you know, we encourage those in 12th grade and those in 11th grade to look into us, begin to think about this, talk to your college counselors, and have us on your radar when you're ready to apply.
All right. Well, thank you so much again. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully we will speak soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a great day. All right. We're going to go to the news break. Oh, you said you couldn't get a scholarship because you were studying business. Interesting. I didn't realize that was a criteria. We're going to go to the news break, but it's a good discussion to continue having and to continue having with your family about the prospects of going to college, getting a university education. No, you don't need one for it to change your life, but it can change your life very rapidly in a matter of just a couple of years. All right? You guys stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of the news break.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
If you love brunch, but it's already time for lunch, Burger King's Farmhouse King has you covered with a burger that's big and tasty. The Farmhouse King features a half pound of flame-grilled beef, a fried egg, bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, and our creamy signature sauce, all on BK's signature toasted sesame seed bun. Complete your meal and make it a combo with fries or onion rings and an ice-cold Pepsi. Fill up for lunch with the Farmhouse King, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
BPC and the government say if oil is found, the Bahamian people will decide what is done with it. But outside of the country, this foreign company is telling its British investors that they have us locked into a 30-year-old production deal that we can't get out of. And they talking about selling oil off the back of a boat? Seriously? More spills? Which story should we believe? Why can't we see the terms of BPC's license? What do they have to hide? Which politicians are benefiting from the oil deal? Sign the petition today at StopBahamasOilDrilling.com. Hashtag no drill, no spill.
Are you tired of that boring 9-to-5? Do you need a new and exciting career? Visit the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute, where your passion can become your profession. Let us introduce you to a career in information technology, cosmetology, construction, office administration, auto mechanics, electronics, and more. Say goodbye to that 9-to-5 and hello to the possibilities. Call us today at 502-6338. Apply by November 16, 2020.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were talking, well, you heard from the Life for Key Foundation in the last half of the last hour. Some very interesting things going on with the Focus program. We can get back to some of the things we were talking about, and I do want to go through a couple of things here. But if you want to make a call, if you want to call in, that's fine too, 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Hello, good afternoon. Are you
there? Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Mr. McCartney?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, maybe you turn down your radio.
McCartney, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Maybe you should turn down your radio and then just talk to me.
This is the blind gentleman. To borrow for you a fiscal floor with some stuff.
Ah, yes, okay.
Do you remember me?
I do, yes. Well, there were two blind gentlemen. There were two blind gentlemen, but I remember both,
yes. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling to find out, sir, if you could assist me with a couple of things. If you can, then I can understand that.
Well, what I cannot personally at this... yes, sir. Hello? Are you listening to me?
Hello? Mr. McCartney?
Yes, are you listening to me, sir?
Yes, you hear me?
I do hear you. Can you not hear me, or what's the issue?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm saying...
Yeah.
Okay, listen to me, please, for one moment.
Hello?
Okay. Arlington, could you please get the gentleman's information from him? And I was going to say that I personally cannot financially assist you at this time, personally. But if there is somebody out there who is in a position to do so, let me know. Feel free to call 302-2314. The gentleman has some issues. And I was asking him about social services, if I can assist you in that way, possibly. If you are out there under the sound of my voice, can assist this gentleman with some funds. I'm not sure exactly what he's in need of. Let me know. I'm not personally set up to do it at the moment. Okay? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Let's go to that call here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How you doing, good buddy?
I'm good. How's it going?
I pray that you and your family had a good, safe weekend. And to all those that passed away, I'm sorry, our prayers go with them. But, you know, McCartney, this town is really changing so rapidly that every morning you wake up, you wonder which direction we go within. You stop just about every little unleaded refreshment store you stop to. As soon as you open the door, there's always a young man sitting there. Give me a dollar, buy me a cold one. Paying stuff, you know, when my brother plays by my call, but I say, brother, I don't know if you listen to the radio, watching the TV and everything, but this thing is tough all around the world. You standing up. And what amazed me, Mr. McCartney, is some of these young gentlemen are young, strapping, you know, healthy-looking, muscular-built people.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yep.
I'm a 70-year-old man. I come out of the car limping, trying to get me a cold one. Take stuff and I can't even get a job nowhere to go to work no more. I gotta just live off of my national insurance, you know, subsistence. And you started up there asking me to give you the little dollar I have. And I thank God I got enough to give to Chinese or somebody for that cold bottle. But here comes a foreign investor or illegal investor on South Beach in a rickety boat in the middle of the night. And within a week, he walking down the road with a cutlass, a weed whacker, and a lawnmower, picking up 3 or 4 jobs a day.
Yeah.
And we right here in the Bahamas, just expect to sit on the wall, drink a cold Guinness, smoke a beady, and we supposed, me and you supposed to just pass by and give him money to buy another cold one.
Yeah, I don't do that. Well, Sparky, you do like I do. I don't carry cash. Like, hardly ever. So
well,
I don't be lying.
Yeah, but I so down, I can't even get a credit card, okay?
Oh, boy. You got a bank account, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, my brother. Yeah, we got to look. Anyway. He's somewhat right. Yeah? I understand the pandemic and all this, but we do have... it seems we're drifting more into this culture of it's okay not to work. It's okay not to be self-sufficient. It's okay to ask people to take care of you. And I don't know that that's where we want to be. But I do understand that a lot of people are out of work. But if you're out of work, your priority cannot be alcohol or marijuana or tobacco. That's just where I'm at. You have bigger issues and bigger fish to fry. And certainly... getting drunk won't increase your opportunities for work. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
To this dark universe, along with you, Juan.
Hey, my brother.
All right. Juan,
two points I want to make. Number one, the guy was walking down the road with a cutlass. He's making over $400 a week in some cases.
Easy.
Easy. Because I had one clean up my yard. He charged me $100. Mm-hmm. And he did that within less than a whole day.
Right.
My other point is, right, what the government needs to do, right, the government needs to set up a situation whereby the court would be in a position to give people lawyers that cannot afford lawyers, okay? Because government getting too much of our money and too much of our people going to jail without getting what you would call a legal, you know, help.
We have a public defender's office.
You're talking about the Butte Law School?
No, we have a Department of the Public Defender. It was set up
under... But they need to advertise it, because the thing is, a lot of people don't know about it, because I would hear...
The judge knows about it.
Say it again?
The judge should know about it. You're talking about being charged with a criminal complaint or a civil complaint or what?
Any type.
Okay.
Criminal law, civil.
Well, you're kind of on your own if it's civil. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the government should pay for your civil defense. Why do you think the government should pay for you to defend you in a civil action?
That's our money and that's our people.
No, that's your business is who you have a civil matter with.
Yeah, but what happened to those people who were unable to have a job?
They have to get some sort of legal advice. I don't know that I agree with the government paying for your civil defense attorney. In fact, I don't agree with that.
Well, the thing is, Juan, when you have a civil case and you can't get in court with the lawyer in which you paying or doing it free, not altogether free because you still have to pay for stamp tax and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and also summons to be served.
Okay.
The thing is, something needs to be done because you will be holed up for years and years and years. And the thing is, it shouldn't be like that. It's creating a problem or a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
So government should have a way to look into the situation as such. This country system needs to be changed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, I got you. Well, I'll say this. I will actively campaign to have voted out of office any administration that starts using my tax dollars to pay civil defense attorneys for matters that have not a Christ thing to do with me. So I will actively campaign to have them voted out of office. Should we then have attorneys to the government pay attorneys to conduct matters that you want to enter into of your own volition? I'm not sure where that ends. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan, and happy night anniversary to Guardian Radio.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, y'all have been really a pillar of strength as the fourth estate. Y'all have done a remarkable job over that time.
Thank you.
I've just called to say to the Smith and Sawyer family, Mr. Smith who passed away, the way you describe him, I can go a little further because as president of Green Cows Association for some 6 years, I can tell you without any question, prior to that, because me and him from the same home, we grew up together. He's a little older than I am, but his generosity to the wider community, Green Castle Development Association as a whole, is unparalleled. And so he would be greatly missed.
Yes.
And that small quintessential of Greencastle, we have lost a national hero. There's no question in my mind about that.
He was excellent.
To the Sawyer and Smith family, again, have my deepest sympathy.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Yeah, it was a Luthra. Sorry, not Andros. Right. Okay. This says... Hi, how can the PM campaign in St. Anne's without Brent? Oh, he didn't have Brent? He had the Adrian White guy? He was out campaigning. I see the pictures. He was out campaigning. But y'all ain't come Jack Meadow. I was around Saturday. I don't count, eh? I on the fringe. I kind of where St. Anne's meets Freetown. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, my God, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
That's great. I am just curious about what you think about Mark Silva.
I was going to get to that, yeah. Well,
because what I think is that they give Fred Mitchell an actual shoe-in.
Well, I think it would be anyone who goes there is going to have a difficult time against Mitchell because it's not like he got wiped out in that last
exactly.
So he only has to flip not that many more votes back to
exactly. Yeah,
and he's been active and present in that constituency the entire time.
Continuously, yes. You know, I like his method and format and the way his style operates in there. But for the newcomer that is coming in there. Man, from time when he was the union president, and then he became he's got to work for the government, and now he's got to run for the government. Man, like yeah, you think that people go vote for him? I think I'm gonna listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it by virtue of running for the FNM, he will get a particular level of support. But again, that's gonna be a long haul for him to. Take out or keep that in the FNM's column and effectively beat back Fred Mitchell. That's going to be an effort. I'll say this, though. The way that they allowed this to happen with Chanel Ferguson appears much neater than has happened with several other nominations. All right? So this was her saying, look, I'm not going to – could she have done it in the House? Sure. But this was her saying, I'm not going to contest again. Thank you. It's been a great honor, XYZ. And then you have John Pinder go, well, I'm interested, and we could look at that. And you know, and that's a much neater way to do it as opposed to the way it was done all messily with Lanisha Roll and others. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn. What's up, my brother?
I'm here, bro.
All right. Just – congratulations to you with your radio station, because many times I sit in that radio station with you and you have been a tremendous sponsor to me with basketball. So I said the same thing to Dwight.
Thanks, man.
I want to say something, Vaughn. I had an opportunity not too long ago to listen to the House of Assembly, right, and mm-hmm. listen to the supposedly honorable members to contributing on certain things. And you know, Vaughn, you know, we as people in our country, we are used to some people. It's like saying, you when certain people speak, you could basically almost write their speech for them, but coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, right, I just want to say something. I don't want to deter you from what your discussion is. That I listened to two persons, the Prime Minister, first of all, that I have respect for as a prime minister, but I think that is fading away. And I can tell you why I say that. If you know when the leader is going to stand up in the House of Assembly and say that the opposition don't care, basically in his words, in layman terms or behemoth terminology, the opposition doesn't care during this pandemic for some people to live or die.
Yeah, that was wild.
You know,
yeah.
And he said it again today.
Oh, I didn't hear him today.
And last but not least. Mr. Brenzel wrote that one of the FNM members of parliament that I have the utmost respect for, but it basically faded away. It faded from me today. And I can tell you why I say that.
Oh, was it him talking about Fred Mitchell?
Right. Come on.
Man, do it. I mean,
let
me say this
man,
to it.
Vaughn,
let me
man.
Say this to you, my brother.
This man is in charge of NIB. NIB is like in this situation, is like the finance. People are suffering. I know people that go by NIB door and sit down before it open up. He ain't talking nothing about relief, about how you're going to try to, you know, if this extension with the NIB is going to continue, how hard it is on the government, if the government has to buy him. He worried about it, Fred Mitchell, how much frequent flyer trips he had.
I'm going to say this, right? If you choose to go to battle with Fred Mitchell, right?
I'm telling you. But
be prepared to, firstly, have receipts, and secondly, be prepared to battle to the death.
But Vaughn, you know, before I end, Mr. Davis, you know, well, I can say I saw him prime minister, okay? Well, people don't like it or not.
Sorry.
Right? But Mr. Davis told Mr. Rule that, hey, whatever comes to you, you got to be able to handle it, because when you going to go up against Fred Mitchell now? Personally, that I know him. That's one you could talk, you could call him the cow jump over the moon. He coming back at you.
Well,
and he's coming back hard.
Mitchell, you don't try unless you got all your ducks in a row, right? So don't, you look at him and go, all right, unless I got him, I can fool
up, right? You can deal with it. But have a good day, my brother.
All right, my brother. Yeah. That, I predict, will end badly. Most likely for Brenzel Roll. Maybe ready though. Maybe, you know, you could try. Ain't nothing wrong with trying, I guess. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Nope. Okay. Fair enough. This says, hi, Sparky's correct, but the hustling guys are taking their lead from their MPs because they're all on a hustle. Yeah. Good afternoon. Oh, welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, Anton, how's it going, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. Good afternoon to the nation. My condolences on the passing of your uncle, is that?
Uncle, yes, thank you.
Yeah,
very much.
You're welcome. And to your family as well. You know, well, it doesn't matter who they put in Fox, okay? The people have had a chance to see what's happening. The people know what they had. And the people will make their decision. And it's certainly going to be an FNM call. You know, and even those who were FNMs would acknowledge the great representation that they had. And so, John Pender should keep his job, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't quitting my good government job. Yeah.
You know, unless he has another means to sustain himself and his family, because it's certainly going to be through no appointment from the opposition, which he will be in, take over the opposition in this election coming.
Anton, it's going to be, I don't know how that particular part of the public service works, but isn't it going to be difficult for him to keep his job if the PLP wins?
No, in other words, I'm saying he shouldn't waste his time trying to run for parliament.
But I'm saying he shouldn't even be saying that unless he's ready to quit right now. You know what I mean?
Well, he's certainly going to have to quit. You know, grasp him with that.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot do both.
Right.
But nonetheless, what I wanted to touch on is, one, did you keep up with what was happening with the leader of the opposition over the weekend?
Yeah, I saw him I saw him over there in the States. I kind of don't understand why. What was going? He was just doing a talk. He was talking to certain people about.
Well, it wasn't only him. It was also.
I saw him at the baseball game.
Economist and financial mind.
Okay.
Anthony Ferguson, who accompanied him on the trip.
Oh, I didn't
right?
know.
Yeah, Anthony Ferguson was certainly there on that trip. And he's there in the photos as well. And Mr. Davis was pretty much preparing his portfolio and preparing his government to take over government and to be effective from day one. And so he was speaking with top-level technical experts. Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was speaking with top-level technical experts as it relates to the PLP's economic plan. And ways that they see can fit into the global environment, as well as what is happening locally on our ground, and how those two can be cohesive to ensure that the Bahamas doesn't. You still there, Juan?
Yeah, I'm listening to
I'm
you.
I'm hearing a lot of talk about to ensure that the Bahamas isn't just operating in and of itself, because we are operating in a global environment, and we have to have cohesion in what is happening globally, especially with our neighbors to the north, who have been our partners. For at least 30, 40 years in the country.
Absolutely.
And so that was a powerful move. I believe it was an excellent move, and I believe that it shows great leadership on the part of Mr. Davis making that trip and taking along with him a top financial expert and economist in the country who can help to guide discussions and guard discussions and to ensure that what the Progressive Liberal Party is preparing to do on behalf of leveling the playing field and advancing opportunities for all in the country can realistically be achieved with the support of our biggest and strongest partners, the world's most powerful nation on the planet, the United States. And so that, to me, Juan, is where the current government should have been and needs to be. And they are lacking, Juan. They still have yet to produce an economic plan to help with unemployment. They still have yet to produce an economic plan to help with growing the economy, Juan. They still have yet to produce a plan to save jobs, to provide some level of help and hope for persons who are losing their rental homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One, we are in trouble. But stay tuned, Juan. Stay tuned. Because the PLP is on the move, and we are preparing to lead this country, not after 3 years, not after 4 years, from day one. thank you for the opportunity, Juan. God bless you.
Okay. I'm going to stay tuned. Certainly a nice picture that of Brave Davis in front of the Washington Monument there over the weekend. I think Brave should grow a beard. I think that'll work for him. Not like a heavy, you know what I mean? Just like a week old beard and keep it there. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. McCartney. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Wonderful. Mr. McCartney, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Whatever became of the emergency funds that the government would have borrowed in case of any disasters and stuff in the country?
What happened to the emergency funds the government would have borrowed in case?
Remember the money they said that they borrowed in case we have another disaster in the country that they would be able to, you know, be able to fund any major issues that they would have in the country, like another major storm or some catastrophic issues that would come in the country. What happened to that money?
I'm going to be real with you. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. They borrowed money in case something happened? I don't recall that.
Yeah, they remember Peter Sankwes said that they had borrowed some money, some $200 million or something they had borrowed in case of any other major hurricanes or any other disasters that would come in the country. And nobody seems to know where this money is or what happened to this money. And we're still borrowing money. The country is still broke. You know, so, I mean, with you being the investigative journalist that you is, you know, you think that is something that you can look into for the people? Because I, you know, it hurts my head when I think about it that, you know, the government told the people that they were borrowing this money in case of any major disaster or issues, and yet we're still broke, and nobody is saying anything about that money when they borrowed it. You know, nobody knows where this money is. Nobody is saying what they would have done with the money. So can you investigate that and come back and let us know whatever became of that funds, please?
I'll look into it, certainly. I don't recall that, I'll be honest with you, but I can make inquiries about it. I don't know that you borrow money just in case. I don't know that that's a thing. You know what I mean? So you're servicing debt for an event you don't know will happen. I don't understand the logic behind that. If they would have done that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, Juan McCartney.
How's it going?
That money that gentleman is talking about. Mm-hmm. Peter Turnquist said that was borrowed to substantiate the GDP. The balance money.
Say that again.
Yeah, Peter Turnquist, when he was borrowing that money, he said that was to, I guess, substance dollars to you know, like revenue for the DA and stuff like that, no fall off and nothing like that. That's where the money went.
Well, if Peter Turnquest said that, then I'm glad he's no longer Minister of Finance, because I can't imagine that doesn't make any sense. So
exactly.
I can't imagine he would say, have
God.
Said that. Okay, so that doesn't make any sense at all. All right. I don't know that happened. Give me a date or so. I don't have perfect recollection of everything. All right. So let me do some of your text messages. It says, condolences, Juan, on the passing of your uncle. Thank you. Your aunt stayed true to her marital vows in sickness and in health. Too bad not enough married couples are true to their marital covenant these days. Yep, she was certainly dedicated. It says, welcome to our world, Juan. I'm glad you finally see what's going on in this country when it refers to customer service. But when those same businesses don't make money, they'll blame the government. We're gonna do a show on that one day. I'm very serious about that. I have a very serious challenge now in customer service in this country, and I'm not going to just accept it. All right. There's no shortage of avenues through which I can spend my money. All right? Now you and Kung Salad ain't that difficult to make. All right. So, by the way, I'm not accusing Peter Turnquest of anything. I don't know that happened. I'm saying that what you guys are saying that Peter Turnquest said makes zero sense. I don't know that he said it. All right? You can't borrow money just in case you have a hurricane, okay? You don't borrow money to fill in the gap. I don't know what. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Morning.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, I'm calling you. Could you and Mom find out what happened to the social services money? I usually get mine on the 3rd. And Canoe ain't put nothing there yet.
You get it through? I can ask, sure. Yeah.
Please, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'm gonna ask Peter Turnquest what you guys are talking about. All right. So we'll do that. This says we need more Bahamian people and business owners to give back to the Bahamian people. The same kind of program, not only giving back to the politics to control the government. You're talking about in the vein of Life for Key. Absolutely, absolutely. All right. This says, we will get better when some owners get training themselves and also train their people by trainers who have experience with managing people. We have too much ineffective training by inexperienced trainers. It says, Juan, you're a celebrity. You're just seeing horrible customer service in Nassau. It was horrible for over 20 years now. I mean, I like to give kudos when I get good customer service, certainly. And I think we have gotten used to a subpar level of customer service, but let me give them a shout. The Almond Tree Bar. You guys asked me, some people asked me where I was talking about the Ribs House on Sundays. Almond Tree Bar on Kemp Road, right? It's just a nice little establishment. They have good customer service. They're not fancy. They don't cater to a bunch of tourists, you know. It's on Kemp Road off Wolf Road. The other place is called Yanks. It's off Wolf Road. Good customer service. It's not that difficult, you know. Just to be appreciative that people are patronizing your business. It's not difficult at all. It's not if you can't come to work and make the most of your work day, then stay home. Other people want to work. Right? And if you're somehow connected to the business owner, then shame. All right? This says, Juan, who you think have the best Kung Salad under the bridge or Arawak Key? Well, my guy at Arawak Key, I forget the story he's in front of. He used to be by Drifters, and now he's not. He's a Haitian man. He's excellent. And Potter's Key, I go to Fire Potter's Key. He's solid, too. All right? It says, Peter Turnquest, to recollection, said they were ensuring that we had access to borrow the money from what I recall, political mischief at play. Oh, okay. If you're saying that they accessed a facility in case of emergency without drawing down on that facility before the emergency happened, then that makes sense. Okay. If that's what you're saying. So, for instance, we utilized our rights to access, our special drawing rights to access an IMF facility of $250 million. And when the pandemic hit, we started drawing down off that. Is that what you're talking about? Now, what you guys said didn't make any sense. But if that's what you're talking about, then okay, we can look at where that money went. Certainly. Most of it, the fiscal snapshot report would have said, went to pandemic spending. So healthcare, PPEs, overtime, et cetera, food for the distribution task force, and the extra payments through NIB for unemployment, et cetera. If that makes sense, if that's what you're saying, we could talk about that. All right? This says, blessed day, Juan. I tune into your show every day. That guy by the name of DeWitt, he makes our day in office. Keep up the good work, Juan. Yeah, DeWitt's a good guy. All right, so if that's what you're talking about with Peter Turnquest, that I can answer for you. All right, they've accounted for that money. Now, I see no invoices, right? But that's where they say, I swear for nobody, but that's where they said the money went. I see, you know, the receipts for the PPEs, but that's what they said. All right. And it's perfectly sensible financial policy, fiscal policy in order to do that. All right. So that to me, I don't have an issue with that. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
TF Express Delivery, the Uber for items, packages, and documents. It's the Bahamas' most efficient domestic delivery service. We pick up and deliver for businesses and individuals, and we're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for deliveries anywhere in Nassau. TF Express Delivery, the Uber for items, packages, and documents. Call us today at 815-4628 or visit our website, tfxdelivery.com.
Calling all Primo fans! Marco's Pizza's got a new special! That's right, the Trio Deal was made just for you! Enjoy one large, one topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter soda for just $20. At Marco's Pizza, we're all about quality. That's why we make our dough fresh every day. Our specials are hot, delicious, and affordable. Three items, just $20. Order your Trio Deal today on our website, marcospizzabahamas.com. Marco's, every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello, Primo.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own? And how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the revolution. We didn't get to a lot of what I wanted to get to today, but that's fine. I'm here all week. I won't miss you again on Friday. God's prayer life. Someone called me and said that what the caller was referring to about Peter Turnquest saying we're borrowing to make up a shortfall in the GDP was actually Peter Turnquest saying that the government was borrowing to make up a shortfall in government revenue because the GDP had been impacted by the pandemic. All right? So y'all were confusing me a bit, but that's fine too. All right? That's expected anyway, right? If your government revenue's off, you're going to borrow to make up the difference, right? Deficit spending, we've been engaged in that for quite some time now, unfortunately, but it is what it is. And you know what? Maybe not even unfortunately, because there's a case to be made as, you know, you can live with a certain level of debt as long as you have the capacity to service it and you're experiencing growth in your economy. So, and we'll have that conversation one day as well. So I think you maybe, both of you were maybe confusing maybe what he said. But okay, those two things, they are explainable. I'm not an FNM. I'm just saying they're explainable. I know y'all got, oh, it's not like FNM today. No, I'm just saying that that's explainable, what he was talking about. Well, and whenever the general election is held, that night as the election results come in, I'm recommending you, Bravis, Anton, and Fred Mitchell be together listening. I believe you'll need to console each other. Oh, okay. I guess I sound like a PLP today. I mean, my money's on Fred Mitchell in Fox Hill. I won't lie to you. So if I'm a betting man, I'm betting on that, you know? I ain't on Fred Mitchell campaign team or nothing. That's just what I see. But my money would have been on him during the last election. I certainly saw the PLP losing, but I didn't see the FNM winning 34 seats. 34, 35. It says, yes, that's what I meant about Peter Turnquest. I was listening to some of the PLP callers trying to be mischievous, so just responding. Okay, good. It says, Juan, I'm glad you brought up your experience with customer service. We as patrons have choices, so we don't have to accept mediocre service or the lack thereof. As for me, when I am not acknowledged, I don't even hesitate anymore. I mean, you expect a greeting, right? Have we gotten to the place where just basic manners are no longer applied? Just hello, right? Good afternoon, yes? When I was in, when I lived in the States, going to school, and I worked for a couple of years after, people would look at me like I was strange. When I entered a room, I would say good afternoon or good morning to everyone. They'd look at me like, what is wrong with you? And I'd go, that's how I was brought up. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being courteous. It doesn't exert any great deal of effort. Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. I went to a car wash once and asked the guy if I could get my car wash. He looked up at me like he was chewing on a scorpion pepper and asked me if I thought he didn't have things to do. Customer service in this country needs serious work. And see, I'll pay a little premium if you got good service. Because my guy comes to my house and washes my car. All right? So, in fact, I'm throwing out names today. Because I want to tell you, you know, there's rewards for giving good customer service. All right? ADA City Rental Auto Detailing Car Wash. They come to my house and wash my car, all right, every other Saturday morning and detail it inside out, all right? Have it looking and smelling like new. ADA City Rental Auto Detailing Car Wash, all right? And they shifted to doing that during the pandemic, and I think they found that it's a very lucrative way to operate, right? And so it's a little bit more expensive than me driving to the car wash, all right, but not that much more for the convenience and for the service. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I heard you talking about customer service.
Yes.
I just came off the phone with our Bahamian embassy in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and the lady who answered the phone, it was so disgusting. I wish I recorded it. She was so rude. She
really?
Refused to give me her name.
Really?
And this is a Bahamian. I'm only a Bahamian trying to figure out if my passport is expired, if I can come back home. That's a simple question.
Right.
She treated me as if I was some type of illegal immigrant. But how did you get here? You'll have to come to Washington. I said, ma'am,
really?
I'm in Miami. How am I going to get to Washington?
Right.
You have to come to Washington. I said, can I have your name? The lady could say, Miss Minnis. My name is Miss Minnis. You know,
yeah.
Being disgusting.
No, so that's terrible. Yeah, no, that's terrible. Particularly as if you're working at an embassy. Diplomacy should be the order of the day.
Exactly. I don't understand what's going on. So obviously it's something innate with Bahamians and service.
And you can come home on your expired passport as long
as
it's not too far off.
But I was panicking, you know. I was like, yeah, but you can, can't you?
You can, yeah. You can.
If you're a Bahamian, like, what are you going to do, deport me?
I know people have done it before. They come and they establish, here's my passport, here's another form of government ID, I'm sorry it expired while I was there. And usually they wouldn't want, the Americans wouldn't want you to travel if it's within a couple of months of expiration, but I guess they let you come.
Yeah, they let me slide.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, but that's terrible if that's, if, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you, Watt.
Yeah, all right. It says, Crawley and Kemp are always into political mischief with false truth. Well, you can't have a false truth. I think maybe they just, I don't know, maybe they just didn't, I don't know. They were just confusing what was said, perhaps. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, I totally forgot to wish Mrs. McCarthy a happy belated birthday, man.
Oh, my wife, yes.
Taking off last week, sir. She said that you could celebrate.
Right.
I hope everything went well. I was a little disappointed you didn't make it down to the doing after having that one and everything, but.
No, I wasn't able to. I planned to go one day, though.
I hope you all had a wonderful time, and God continue blessings.
Absolutely. It was. She had a great day. It was a very nice day. Thanks for asking. I was great. Happy to do that for her, because she did not have a great day last year because of the pandemic. It really was. It was like when the pandemic first popped off, and everyone was like, nobody move. This says, Juan, you need to give me his number. Who, the car wash guy? Sure. One second. And this is, and I normally don't even do this. The station doesn't like me to do this. I get in trouble for this, but I'm doing it today. This, his number is 817-4388. Okay? ADA City Rental Auto Detail and Car Wash. The station's going to want some money from me today for giving out free ads, but it is what it is. All right, because it makes my point about customer service. Normally I wouldn't do it. A friend went to a car wash in Stapleton 2 weeks ago. No other customer was there. Some guys were sitting around until she said she wanted her car washed. They told her to come back later as the guy, and they pointed, was sleeping in his car. Well, yeah, and then you wonder why you ain't making money. Isn't it ironic that the lady in D.C. was a menace? I don't think so. It's a pretty common behavior name. It says, I value customer service. I have my staff trained every year by Ms. Kim Welcome. She teaches them how to be professional. Customers tell me all the time how our service is so good. People need to invest in their staff. You know where I get good customer service? Maybe because it's me, right? I don't know. But I find the experience is uniform. And I don't often eat there because, you know, I don't do fried food a lot anymore. But KFC, I find, has really good standard customers. If it's because they're all following a script, then great. They do follow it, you know? This says, the loan people are talking about was a special purpose vehicle from the IMF that they have access to. Okay, yes, we cleared that up. All right. This says, there's no customer service in the Bahamas, so stop it, Juan. I mean, some places have customer service. We're going to talk about it. Hi, Juan. The problem is not the training. Speaking as a trainer, the issue is the follow-through and reinforcement of the material that was taught. The reality is you have to care and model good customer service. It says, what is, I didn't read any of your texts today? Okay. Where do your texts? Okay, you have some texts. Let's read some. Brayman runs on too long and is often way off topic. Okay. These people wishing you happy anniversary, you could tell they're the real lotioners. Okay. I don't know how much more of Anton you can take. I may soon cut off my ears. Okay. Well, there you go. I read your text. I just hope you're happy. This says, so people are having dreams about us borrowing money in case a hurricane comes. Maybe he's talking about the hurricane insurance scheme. Yeah, well, we cleared it up because that wasn't making sense to me. Like, I'm not going to go borrow money and pay to borrow money in case something happens. That don't make any sense whatsoever. All right? This says, the last time I called a restaurant out on Facebook, the owner came for me. I told him the service was good, but the food was awful. These owners need help. Yep. It's one, I believe customer service is natural. One, you should hope you did not have too much of a fun time on your wife's birthday. Pampers are expensive. Oh, Lord. Okay, we are out of time. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all these things, but all your texts. It says, plenty of Bahamians have horrible attitudes, especially toward white people. So many times they treat me like I'm doing something to them. Now, I don't know if it's because you're white. Maybe. But it's pretty uniformly bad. But maybe it's worse if you're white, but I doubt it. All right. We got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. No fares. No worries. All right. You guys take care out there. We'll talk about some of the things we didn't get to. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.